Hello, this is Frederike Geerdink for Media News. We're having a podcast with Kamaran Osman of the Community Peacemaker Teams. Welcome, Kamaran. Can you first introduce yourself and the CPT?
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on this podcast. I'm Kamaran Osman, Human Rights Observer for Community Peacemaker Teams, Iraqi Kurdistan Team. CPT has been working since 1987. Since this time, CPT has teams around the world. We have 5 teams in Canada, Colombia, Palestine, Greece, and also in Iraqi Kurdistan. CPT first came to Iraq in 2002, then moved to Iraqi Kurdistan in 2006. Since this time, we have two main project is in Iraqi Kurdistan. One is advocating for the villagers, farmers, and all the civilian people who have been impacted by the war between PKK and Turkey, and between the armed Kurdish groups and Iranian military forces as well. And we have another project accompanying the civil society activists and journalists, and all that human rights defenders who are facing the prison and torture and all kind of the violence by the KRG government in Iraqi Kurdistan.
Yeah, that's quite a package. I thought maybe we can start talking about Zaghal massacre, which happened around 2 weeks ago, where the Turkish army shelled a tourist resort in the mountains close to Zaghal. Nine people, 9 civilians were killed and many people were injured. Yeah. And I've seen on your social media and in interviews that CPT has given that you've already been present in that area quite a lot and that you're rather familiar with it. And can you explain why you were there already, what you know about the place?
Yeah. So Parakhe is one of the villages that has been targeted since June 2020. So Turkey, since December 2017, started a big ground military operation in KRG. First started in Sidakan area, and they wanted to expand alongside the border until Parakhe and Behere village. So since December 2017 until now, Turkey has built almost 64 military bases alongside the Iraqi and Turkey border. In June 2020, Turkey launched Claw Eagle operation and Claw Tiger operation. During that operation, they found two big military bases behind of Parakhe village, which is called Grekuhe village and also Khamtir village. It is only 1.5 kilometers far from the village, from Parakhe village. In this time, when they found the two military bases, they also put a big artillery shelling and weaponizing the bases since this time. And they were targeting the village, bombing around the village and asking people also to leave the area. So there are 11 villages in that area. All of them, they have been emptied and people has been displaced. But only Parakhe village and Parakhe villagers are resist and they remained in the area. So they had a non-violence resistance against the Turkish military operation. They made a big obstacle for Turkey to advance their military operations on the ground. Turkey was not happy about that. And last year, the soldiers came down from their military bases. They knocked the doors with the translators. They asked the people to leave their village. Otherwise, they will consider all the villagers as a PKK members. But people, they didn't leave the village. They remained in the village. So Turkey, last month, we can say June 15, for the first time, they started shelling inside the village and they injured two farmers, a father and a son, Nazir Umar and his son, Muhammad Nazir Umar. They were badly injured. They were in hospital in Zaghal. We visited them. And When we visited them, we understand why Turkey is targeting the Parakhiv village, because we asked them, what's your plan? After like getting treatment, are you going back to Parakhiv village? They told us definitely we will go back, because if you will not go back, we will experience the same thing that the other villages, our neighbors, they experienced, that they could not come back to their village at all after that. They said, after we will get treatment, we will go back to our village, and we don't let them to expand their military operations in our village anymore. So after that, they went back and they opened some new tourist areas, some new tourists in their area. And this year, a lot of people, Iraqis, people from the south and the central of Iraq, they were coming to that area. And that massacre happened in, unfortunately, this month, that like 9 people got killed and more than 30 people got injured. And it's not the story only of Parakhiv, it's the story of Hurure as well. Hurure also was targeted during the Claw lightning operation last year.
That's in the same area.
It is a little bit far away, but it is in the north. It is in the Hurure is belonging to Kanimase sub-district, which is belonging to Ami.
Kanimasi has been bombed before too,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. But Parakhiv is belonging to Derkar sub-district, which is belonging to Zapo. So Hurure, Turkey built 4 military bases last year. All the villages around this area, they have been emptied, but the villagers from Hurure, they decided to not go. So we as CPT, we are very worried that maybe in the future, the same massacre happened to Hurure, if the international community and Iraqi government and the KRG government will not put a line for Turkey to not advance or to not bomb KRG and target civilians anymore.
But what can you do as CPT? You go to the village, you visit people in hospital when they are hit by any of Turkish aggressions. But what can you do? What is your goal of going there?
The first thing we are doing is accompanying people. So because when the bombardment happened, it is the first time that all the governments are releasing the press release, issuing the press release and talking about that. But for the other cases, nobody is talking about that. We as CPT, we are going to the area, accompanying the villagers, talking to them, and we want them to make them feel support from an international organization. We are collecting data. We are taking the story from the villagers. We are reporting, documenting, publishing in the international community, publishing in KRG, through the medias in KRG, advocating internationally and locally, talking to the KRG authorities about what's going on. And another thing that, which is a big part of CPT, we are playing a great role in that, is correcting the stories. Because most of the time when the bombardment happened, the medias and the Turkish affiliated medias in KRG, they are publishing that is the PKK guerrillas have been targeted, which is not true. Most of the time they are civilian people. We have many, many stories that civilians got targeted, but the medias they published, they were PKK guerrillas. When we are investigating in that, we are finding out that it's not PKK guerrillas. They are just civilians that Turkey is targeting them, sometimes alone, and sometimes they are targeting them with the guerrilla armed groups.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that this time there was a lot of anger about it, also from official people within Kurdistan and in Baghdad as well. Yes. In previous cases, it didn't really happen, yes. Which was connected probably to the victims this time not being Kurds, but Arab tourists. Yeah. It can be bigger political dynamics, of course, as well, with all the trouble going on in government forming in Baghdad, but let's not go in that direction. What I wanted to ask is, why do you think that the Kurdistan authorities didn't speak out earlier when it was their own people, the Kurdish people who were the victims of Turkish aggression?
So since August 2015 until the Parakhe massacre happened, 129 Kurdish people got killed by the bombardments. Only August 2015, 129 people got killed. But the KRG government, only sometimes they condemned the attack. Nothing more than that. Actually, it is clear, like KRG, like there is a political dynamic here. They have the oil agreement with Turkey. And it's true that according to the Iraqi constitution, it is the role of Iraqi government to protect the sovereignty. But at least KRG government can write the death certificate of the martyrs in a right way. Because whenever people are being killed by the Turkish bombardments, KRG Ministry of Health, they are writing, it is by, in the best scenario, they are writing explosion, infijar. But in the every time what they are writing, if someone would be targeted in their car, they are saying he has been killed, he has been died in a car accident, or in he got a stroke, a heart attack, something like that. So at least we are expecting from KRG government, if they are saying we cannot stop Turkish military operations, but they can write their death certificates in a correct way. They can advocate for their people. They can at least advocate for their people. They can complain in the international community. They can ask the Iraqi government. They have many parliamentarians. They can, through their parliamentarians in Baghdad, they can make a complaint. They have the foreign affairs minister in Baghdad, through whom they can do a lot of things. But unfortunately, there were not any strong reaction from KRG government until this time. Until this time, they didn't have even a statement like to advocate for their own people. Yeah. But this time, because the blood of the Kurdish people and the blood of the Arabic people were mixed, and Iraqi government, they feel it. They felt the oppression from Turkey. Then they started to have a stronger reaction. But we hope it would not be for only one time, because Turkey is still continue. Only one day after this massacre, Turkey 20 more times they bombed the village. So we hope they will continue to put more pressure on Turkish government to stop their bombardments.
How hard is it for CPT to speak out and to try to push the Kurdish authorities to take more responsibility for this? Because in the years that you've been working in the Kurdistan region, it also has become more authoritarian. We can see that also from your other work, like the work that you do for Press Freedom, for example, and for activists who are in jail. Yes. So how difficult is it for you to find a balance between being able to do your work and speaking out?
Actually, it's harder for our partners in the villages. The situation is harder for them. It's harder for them. But we as CPT, we are making connection with the mayors, with the village leaders, muhtars. We are the chieftain. We are contacting them. We are through them. We are going to the areas. It's not something easy, actually. There are some ways to make obstacles for us, but we still continue because we believe that work. If they want to stop CPT working in KRG, then we have to think about something else. And we like international community should say something and take a stand in that, because every time when we are going to the area, we are making reports and sharing with the consulates, with the international community, because there is not any organization in KRG on the ground to work on that. Even KRG government, sometimes they are getting data from us. They don't have data about what's going on in the area. So our work is not for putting blame or anyone. Our work is just for making peace in the area. And we hope that KRG government understand that message very well, and they will not try to stop us in KRG.
Yeah, so you're protected by being an international organization, which also gives you the possibility to speak out for journalists who are being prosecuted, and also for activists, because there have been demonstrations like against the economic circumstances, but also demonstrations against the Turkish aggression in the region. Yeah. And now the latest story is that some activists should have been freed after the 8 holidays, but mm-hmm. they were not. And you're advocating on their behalf, and I know that you've also been supporting these people in their court hearings. And can you say, like, why, according to the law, these people are supposed to be freed? They have served their time, and still they're not being released. What's going on?
So yes, unfortunately, CPT has this privilege. We wish everyone had this privilege, as like internationals and foreigners, English speakers, they have in KRG. We hope our own people as well, they had this privilege when they are speaking, there would not be any retaliation against them. It is the same case with the Badinan prisoners, because they were speaking out about the Turkish military operations, especially the Shiladze prisoners, because there's a big military base inside of Shiladze sub-district. So people in 2020, after in 2019, after a big bombardment that killed six people from Shiladze area, people from Shiladze, they did a demonstration against the Turkish military base. So after that, KRG government, they arrested them, they released them. When they found out these people, they are still speaking out about the Turkish military operations, they arrested them. So they have been arrested since December 2020. We as CPT, we participated in their court hearing. The accusations against them were very, very big, but the evidences were very, very small. There were not any evidences against them. But they, the Shiladze prisoners have been convicted or have been sentenced for 2 years in jail. They served the time. They have to be released on conditional release. They are saying if at Shirti in Iraqi Kurdistan. But they didn't release them. We as CPT, we visited the head of the chief of the public prosecution, because he made the obstacle.
Yes, I remember. Like he, yes. Because he said they will be released. And yes, then everybody was happy. And but okay, yes. Like we need to see them released first before we believe it. Yes, and now they're still in jail.
Yeah, we visited them after 2 hours, like having a 2 hours of negotiation and conversation. He decided to release them. But because it was before, just right before the Eid holidays, the lawyers could not finish the legal process to take them out from the prison. So we had to wait after the Eid holidays. After Eid, we were informed by the lawyers that the chief of public prosecution, he is regretted from his decision. We visited him again. And for 4 days, every day we were visiting him. Unfortunately, we felt that it's a political power intervening in that and telling them.
Yeah, because the judiciary is not independent.
Exactly. They are not. The judiciary system in KRG has been impacted by the political power, a bigger political power behind all of them. So they decided to not release them. And we had a press conference after that. We told the people that what's going on and why they haven't been released. But we are still working on that case with our partner organizations and with the Badinan volunteer lawyers. And also we will have some meetings with the consulates in the coming weeks, and we hope that we can put some pressure on the public prosecution to release all the Badinan prisoners who served it.
Because is this unprecedented? Have you seen it before, that people were, you know, according to the rules, supposed to be released and still not being released? Or is this like the first time that it happened?
It's not the first time, actually, but it was happening in the past. But this time, according to that law, it's called Article Number 1, Law Number 21, that the Iraqi Parliament, Iraqi Kurdistan Parliament, they issued that law in 2003. According to that law, anyone that be convicted by that law, they can be released on conditional release. But because of the Shiladze prisoners, the public prosecution, they stopped the whole process for everyone. Now there are 42 other people in prison. They are waiting for being released. But because of the Shiladze prisoners, because that law is like the public prosecution has stopped this process for the Shiladze prisoners, automatically it stopped for these 42 people as well. So now they are...
So that's how it works. Okay.
Yes, now there are 52 people in the prison. They have they are on hunger strike right now.
So they feel like if they release part of these people, they will feel obliged to release the others too, and they don't want that.
They don't want that. It's not only it is mostly about the Shiladze prisoners, because the Shiladze prisoners has been treated differently with the other cases as well, because in prison they have been tortured. In the court trial we were observing, one of them, he took it out his t-shirt and he showed his back to the judge. He said, look what they have done against me. And another one, he showed his feet to the judge, how they took out the nails. Another one showed his body that they used electrical short against, like on his body. So they all have been beaten, and they haven't met their lawyers during, like, for 1 year and a half. They could not see their lawyer until the day of the court hearing. Yeah. So they have been ill-treated a lot.
And now they're on hunger strike. And what is their, the goal is to be released, but how far are they going to go?
So their call is hunger strike until death. Because they feel it is injustice decision against them, especially one of them. His name is Amjad. He got hepatitis C virus in prison. He got that disease, which is it can kill him. He hasn't met any doctor. They just gave him some basic medication. His situation is not good. We met with him 2 weeks ago in prison. He was not doing well. And there is another prison last night. He was bleeding, and also he was fainted because of the hunger strike. So.
And what do the authorities say?
We contacted the prison, and they are saying it is their decision to be on their hunger strike. It's not our problem. Yeah. So we continue to advocate for them, and we are hoping they will be released soon and they will see their family again.
Yeah. Do you have a call for the international community? Because it's sometimes so hard, because Kurdistan is an autonomous region, but it's not a country. It's not represented anywhere. It's maybe hard to get the word out sometimes.
Yeah.
What would your call to international community be?
Yeah. So regardless to the bombardment and Turkish military operations in KRG, we strongly ask the international community to stop all the military support to Turkey, because Bayraktar TB2 drone is nothing without the help of Canadians and German and British government. They should stop their help to Turkey, because they are killing villagers, farmers, civilian, non-armed people by the weapon of these people, by the bomb of these people. We are asking them to stop all their support for Turkey, and ask Turkey to stop all their military operations in KRG, because their goal is not only PKK guerrillas. Their goal is all Kurdish, because we as CPT, we observed that how the Turkish drones, they are observing the PKK vehicles for 1 hour. They are not bombing the PKK vehicle until it will get a tourist area or it will get a civilian area, and then bomb both of them together and killing civilians and guerrilla people together. So we are asking them to stop that because it's a war crime what's happening, especially what happened in Parakhe, like the babies were killed, the old people, the women, that they were just there for taking some rest from the summer in Baghdad. They wanted to come here to have some rest. So it's a war crime. They should stop them for doing their operations here. According to the civil society here, actually, there is a strong connection between international community and KRG government, and they are allies. So we hope that they will put pressure on the KRG government to release all the Badinan journalists and activists and the other political prisoners. Because in the whole Iraq, according to the CPJ report, there were only 5 journalists. They were in prison in the whole Iraq. They were all from KRG. So they should put pressure on them and release them. It is one of the demands that we always have. And another thing, they should make it clear that meeting with the consulate is if it's a crime or not, because most of the Badinan prisoners have been arrested because of the meeting with the consulates. They have been accused of conducting espionage because they met with the British consulate, they met with the US consulate in Erbil. They have been accused for that. So they have to make it clear that meeting with them is not a crime, and the consulates should meet with the civil society, and also they should meet with the authorities.
Yeah. Well, that's very clear. Thank you very much for talking to us. Good luck with your work.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.